You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today as it's the final show of the week, and it's the final show before Tennessee and Kentucky play on Saturday. Today's show will be a big preview of the game. Coming up in just a moment, Grant Ramey of GoVols247 will stop by. I'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's performance against Ole Miss, the way Tennessee is playing, the way Tennessee is shooting, and where the Vols are physically going into what will be a pretty physical matchup, most likely, at least based on what we saw a couple of weeks ago when Kentucky beat Tennessee in Knoxville. So that's coming up in the first segment. Then in segment number two, we'll get an update from Lexington. Curtis Birch, who is a host on Locked On Kentucky, will stop by the show and tell us what we need to know about the Wildcats as they are expected to be playing without Reed Travis this weekend, the big man who caused some problems a couple of weeks ago. He's a good player, and he's been out with a knee injury. How Kentucky has played since then and what the anticipation is like for this game from the Kentucky side. That's coming up in segment number two. I'll have a few more thoughts in the third and final segment of the show, plus big news with the VFL on Thursday. I'll get to all of that right here on Locked On Vols. It's your team every day, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. 5 days a week, it's here covering what's going on with Tennessee basketball, Tennessee football, and UT athletics, available anywhere you get your podcasts. So why don't we get right into the game? Tennessee and Kentucky coming up on Saturday, a battle of two top 10 teams. And the winner of this game, by the way, will remain in first place. The loser will drop a game back. And LSU plays Alabama on the road on Saturday at noon. So when Tennessee and Kentucky tip off, there's a chance if Alabama pulls off an upset that the winner of the Tennessee-Kentucky game will be in first place by itself. So a lot is riding on this game heading into the weekend. So I want to welcome to the show now Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. He's covering Tennessee every day. He's on Twitter, at Grant Ramey. Grant, thanks a lot for the time. Before we get into this upcoming game, what did you think on Wednesday night with Tennessee? Another exciting finish. Tennessee comes out of this one with a win. You have the charge at the end of the game that Admiral Schofield draws, but all of that at the end of the game, what did you think while it was happening?
No, and honestly, I didn't see it. As the game's happening, I have to have something ready to publish as soon as the game's over, basically the game story. And you just try to write it as best you can as the game goes along. So for the final probably 5-6 minutes, I guess in real time, I guess that's maybe the last 2 minutes of the game, I'm writing this whole Tennessee losing story, and they're still skidding. They've lost, you know, whatever it would have been, 3 out of 4. And it looks like Ole Miss is in control the final minute, and they're grabbing offensive boards, and they're extending possessions, and Tennessee's fouling, and Ole Miss is ahead. And Brian Tyree goes the line for a 1-1. He's an 85% free throw shooter. He misses, obviously, the front end, and they go down, and Grant Williams does what he does. He scores the 4-second clip. So I'm completely changing my story, rewriting everything that I had written to that point. And I hear a whistle, and I see Admiral on the ground, and then he gets up and celebrates like they had just clinched a Final Four berth or something. And to take a charge 30 feet from the bucket with 1.1 seconds left, your team just went up and was up 2 points, I guess, at that time. And the way the game ended at LSU, it was a charge. There's no debating that. That was the right call. But, man, you don't want to put the referee in that position to make that call, especially when you're on the road, because you just never know in that situation what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, you totally agree. Rick Barnes seems to agree as well. What was the vibe afterward, being around the players as they had gotten that win, which I'm sure they were excited about? What kind of feeling did you get from the team with also the anticipation of the Kentucky game essentially popping up right after that win, right?
Yeah, I think it was just relief. Obviously, this team's played 28 games and they've won 25 times, so it seems crazy to think that they've kind of hit a wall, but they haven't been playing their best basketball over the last couple of weeks. That's been pretty obvious. They had a game won at LSU. They let it go in the final five, six minutes of regulation. That would have been a big win over a good basketball team. They found a way to win. It looked like a game they didn't really deserve to win at Ole Miss Wednesday night. And it just seemed a little bit like relief, like they could breathe a little bit. Admiral had a kind of interesting comment where he said something like, we lose two games and everybody kind of loses their minds. It's kind of a crazy how much that shows how far they've come, because we used to lose 16 games and nobody really cared that much. And he's obviously referencing his first couple of years when Tennessee was a 500 basketball program. So it felt like relief. And we were asking Grant Williams about Kentucky and facing them again after what happened the first time around. And Admiral walks by us and he heard the question. And he said, hopefully we're not scared of PJ this time. And obviously he's talking about PJ Washington, given how PJ kind of dominated them in the first meeting. So it's a really big sense of relief, it feels like, for them. And it comes at a really good time because they have a huge game on Saturday.
Yeah, this is a massive one. Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. So is that where the conversation starts, how Tennessee performs against PJ Washington, or a bigger picture, just the physical nature of the game? What are you paying attention to with this matchup in round two?
Yeah, PJ, they absolutely cannot let him do what he did in the first meeting. I mean, he scored 23 points. He took 12 shots. He only missed three of them because every time he got the entry pass, he backed somebody down. He spun over his left shoulder, made some contact, and went up with that little jump hook. It was way too easy. He made it look way too easy. Tennessee's defense made it look too easy. So whoever's matched up against him, if it is Grant, on both ends of the floor, Grant has to do a much better job carrying his weight in that matchup. Somebody that won't be, I don't think will be available, at least at this point, it doesn't seem like he will be, is Reed Travis. He's the graduate transfer from Stanford, the big guy, the forward. He was the defensive matchup against Grant in Rupp a couple weeks ago, and Grant only got four shots off. And I think that's part of Tennessee's offense not doing its job, and partly because Reed Travis did a really good job defending him. And then you look at Tyler Harrow, the guard. He was the one who said after the game in Rupp, I think they were scared of PJ, talking about Tennessee. And obviously those quotes got back to the Tennessee players because they were referencing those last night after the win at Ole Miss. But Tyler Harrow had 29, I believe, Tuesday night against Arkansas, and they were down 15 points in the second half at home against Arkansas. So that's not a very good performance against an Arkansas team like that. So those are two big names to watch. If those guys can do damage, it might be a long day for Tennessee.
Grant, multiple times this season, I've had to ask you about Tennessee's shooting. From the outside, Tennessee still didn't shoot very well against Ole Miss, 3 from 13 behind the three-point line. It's a good thing that Tyree missed at least one, if not two free throws, because if the Vols need a three, it might get tricky. What do you make of it? What should we say right now about Tennessee's outside shooting?
It just feels like there are multiple guys slumping at the same time. And this offense has stalled a little bit over the last couple of weeks. The assist numbers aren't anywhere close to what they were a couple of weeks ago. They're an elite assist team for the season. I think they're still averaging close to 19 a game. But last night, I think they got 16, and that felt like a ton because they've only been getting 10 or 11. And that goes a lot to making jump shots because they relied on a high-efficiency jump shooting team all season, an efficient offense that moved the ball a ton and looked for the open shooter and had a balanced offense that a lot of guys could make a lot of shots. But now Jordan Bowden, it feels like he hasn't hit a shot in a couple of weeks. Admiral Schofield's been off and on. Jordan Bone's been off and on. Lamonte Turner, same thing. He'll have a half where he's 0 for 6 from 3, and then the second half he'll be 3 for 5. You don't know what you're getting from these guys night in and night out. You got to figure that out. Tennessee needs those guys to step up. And that was a big shot for Jordan Bowden last night that nobody really paid attention to. He stepped right inside the three-point line and hit a jumper to get it back to a one-point game with about 20 seconds left. And that set up the missed 1-1 on the other end, and that's obviously set up Grant Williams scoring the go-ahead. But it feels like Bowden hasn't done anything in a while. It feels like he's disappeared. So they got to get more of these guys going and get back involved if they're going to be the team that they were previously.
Last thing, Grant. Grant Ramey, GoVols247.com. There's more time to go between now and tip-off in terms of right now you and I having this conversation, but what do you know about Tennessee's health, not only like flu-like issues that have seemed to be there with Kyle the other night, but also just some guys seem beaten up. Am I wrong there? What's the health of this team right now that you can tell?
I think they're banged up, and I think that doesn't make them unique. I think a lot of teams are beat up around this time of year. You could see Grant Williams at Ole Miss the other night after a couple hard contacts under the bucket. He was kind of reaching for his shoulder and kind of he's got his wrist taped. He's holding his wrist and kind of favoring those areas. And you mentioned the flu, Kyle Alexander. I think he only played a few minutes. He started and then he went to the bench for most of the game. He's battling the flu. Jalen Johnson didn't play at LSU because he had the flu. Jordan Bone tried to do what he could do at LSU the best he could. He had the flu. So it seems like it's working its way through the roster. Heck, they were delayed 2 hours, their flight was, going to LSU because a flight attendant had the flu. So they can't seem to escape it right now. It's just a matter of how healthy they can get and how many guys they can piece together. But that's part of, you know, this time of year, and you got to find a way to get it right because the SEC didn't do them any favors with the way they closed the schedule.
Yeah, you're right. Grant Ramey grinding through the schedule himself as well. Follow him on Twitter, at Grant Ramey, and you can read his work. Go to govols247.com. Grant, thanks for the time as always. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Good stuff as always from Grant Ramey. Coming up next here on the show, we'll flip to the other side. Curtis Birch from Locked On Kentucky stops by to tell you what you need to know about the Wildcats coming into Knoxville, what he thinks about the matchup as Kentucky is expected to be down an important veteran. We'll get to that coming up next here on Locked On Vols, which is available 5 days a week on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify. If you listen to a third-party app like Stitcher or Overcast, you can find it there, and it's on your smart speaker. Just say, play podcast Locked On Vols, and it'll be right there for you. So I want to welcome to the show, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, Curtis Birch. He's on Locked On Kentucky. Curtis, I really appreciate the time. So the Wildcats are in a really good position. Just 2 weeks ago, they scored a very impressive win against Tennessee. I'm curious, since then, what has the anticipation been like leading up to this game that we're going to see on Saturday with Kentucky in Knoxville against Tennessee?
I think the most kind of evident piece of evidence that Kentucky's really looking forward to this game Saturday is how they performed against Arkansas. John Calipari did something that I cannot recall him ever doing. He basically admitted that they thought the Arkansas game was going to be kind of a little bit of a breather, and they overlooked them. And that's why they got down in the first half and got down by 15 at some point in the second half. And obviously, they eventually got things straightened out and came back and won. But for them to kind of, you know, we've been searching for a trap game for a while, and this the trap game finally happened. And I think it was because, in part, of the importance of the game on Saturday. I think the Kentucky players are looking forward to this again. And, you know, they had the big win in Lexington, but I now kind of feel like there's a slightly different dynamic because now these guys are trying to prove themselves. They're like, hey, we're probably going to be without Reed Travis, but we want to show that he isn't the only kind of tough guy on this team. And I think that's something they're really looking forward to trying to prove on Saturday.
Yeah, so Kentucky probably expects Tennessee to be a different team, especially in Knoxville. The last few years have not gone well for the Wildcats when they've had to come to Knoxville. And obviously, Tennessee is going to be a motivated team to not only win the game, but prove that it wasn't that team that showed up in Lexington, or I guess kind of didn't show up 2 weeks ago. Is that kind of the mindset, though, that Kentucky's going to see a different Tennessee team?
Yeah, I think they definitely are aware that Tennessee's going to come out much more motivated. And, you know, they got a lot of reasons to come. I mean, both teams are going to be motivated. There's so much on the line in this game. And I think they know that they caught Tennessee at a good spot. And I feel like, you know, the lead up to the last game, it was a situation where is Tennessee ready for a test since they hadn't had one in a while against a top team. And maybe that played to Kentucky's advantage where they kind of just overwhelmed them with talent to a certain extent. And they know that, you know, specifically some of the players – Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are going to be coming out looking to prove that wasn't the true Tennessee that we saw in Rupp Arena.
How are things different for Kentucky with Reed Travis not being there, him having been out the last couple of games for Kentucky?
Well, there's been two games. One game, everything went fine. The second game, it got a little hairy against an inferior opponent. I think that the one thing that is kind of interesting to see, they're kind of toying with this small lineup a little bit where P.J. Washington is the center and Keldon Johnson is the four, and then they throw out three guards around those two guys. That's one of the bigger change, but that hasn't been a ton. There hasn't been a ton of minutes of that lineup. I'm interested to see if they do play that a little bit against Tennessee, specifically when Schofield goes to the four. So that would be kind of like an on-the-floor thing, but I think, you know, it's just a slightly different mentality. And I think like a focus from a veteran leader, that was clearly lacking in the Arkansas game. But what happens when Reed Travis is out, Kentucky has a ton more shot blocking because most of the minutes that Reed Travis was getting is now going to E.J. Montgomery and Nick Richards. Both of those guys are really good at blocking shots. That's one of their strengths on defense. Now, sometimes they kind of get out of position. They foul a little bit more than Travis. So Travis was more of a steady defender. He would always be in the right spot for the most part. And, I mean, the matchup with Grant Williams, I'm kind of really interested to see who Kentucky puts on him, because Reed Travis was so clearly the guy that was going to be defending him the last time these two teams met. Now, I would lean towards that it's probably going to be P.J. Washington, but they'll also probably mix a couple of those other big guys in Nick Richards and E.J. Montgomery. I think they've each averaged like 2.5 blocks, so they've had like one game with 3 blocks and one game with 2 blocks in the last two games. So the rim protection has stepped up from a positive standpoint, but the defense kind of the steadiness of the defense isn't what it was when Travis was in the lineup.
Talking to Curtis Birch, host on Locked On Kentucky, covering what's going on with the Wildcats. What do you think is the confidence level for P.J. Washington, just in general, and then also going up against Tennessee? And the reason I ask about Tennessee specifically is there is that talk that maybe he's gotten in the heads of Tennessee's players, and Tennessee players are aware of that talk as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's confident, and it's not Tennessee specific. I think just overall he's, you know, been confident in the way he's been playing the last 10 or so games in the SEC. Now, it's probably a good thing that the UK coaches can use. He didn't play great against Arkansas. A lot of that was because what Arkansas was doing defensively, a lot of kind of double teams. They played like this kind of a matchup zone type deal in the first half where they were basically just sagging on Washington. So he's super confident. Whenever he gets that spot in his spot on the low post and does the little hook, I mean, I can't recall a more confident shot from a player. He just knows it's going to go in, and once he gets it on that block in that spot, it's basically it kind of seems like his teammates just start turning around and going to play defense because they know it's going to be going in. His confidence level is obviously at an all-time high. And, you know, the Grant Williams and Tennessee kind of stuff that dates back to last year in Knoxville when he cramped up, and Williams had the comment that he was, that P.J. Washington had gotten in his head a little bit, and then it was followed up by the game here in Lexington when Tyler Hero said that, you know, they were scared of him. I think that's just kind of fun back and forth. And in all honesty, it probably gives us a little bit of a window into what's being said on the court, because I imagine they kind of say that stuff to each other when they're in the game.
I think you're probably right on that. Curtis, before you go, it is round two. This could be 2 of 3. They could see each other again in the SEC tournament, of course, like they did last year. But do you have a sense, do you have a pick for what happens this weekend between Kentucky and Tennessee?
Yeah, this is really tough. I mean, like I looked at the last two games for both teams, Tennessee escapes Ole Miss with a win. I don't think they played up to their full potential. Kentucky escaped against Arkansas with a win. They obviously didn't play close to as good as they can. I think it'll probably come down to Tyler Hero's shooting. He had a great game against Arkansas. And if Tennessee tries to double and slow down P.J. Washington, that should leave the wings open and Hero specifically. I'm going to pick Kentucky because I'm going to completely buy into Tyler Hero having another big road game and following up his big road game or his big game against Arkansas.
He was really good the other night. Actually, if you told me his numbers before the Arkansas game, I would have assumed that meant a 25-point win over the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was kind of stunning for him to be able to put up those kind of numbers, and Kentucky still to be in such a dogfight. That just kind of showed that the rest of the team just was not ready for that game.
Should be a good one on Saturday, 2 o'clock in Knoxville, Tennessee and Kentucky. At Curtis Birch on Twitter. He's host of the Locked On Kentucky podcast. Follow them for more info on what's going on with the Wildcats. Curtis, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate all the information today.
Thanks for having me.
Curtis Birch of Locked On Kentucky. Coming up in the final segment of Locked On Vols, a few more thoughts on this basketball game and a VFL making big news in the NFL on Thursday. I'll get to that next here on Locked On Vols. Remember, the Locked On Podcast Network has all kinds of options for you. If you're an NBA fan, there's Locked On NBA. They have team-specific shows just like this one on Locked On Vols, and their Locked On NFL coverage is great as well. It's about to be a busy time with the NFL draft. So check out other shows just like this one, Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So Tennessee and Kentucky, we've covered it over the last 15 minutes or so on the show. I'll be curious to see how Tennessee shoots the basketball. Does Tennessee move the basketball like it's capable of? A big difference to me in the second half against Ole Miss was Tennessee's ball movement and security with the basketball. In the first half, Tennessee had too many turnovers, and that was a carryover from the LSU game. Tennessee turned it over 14 times against LSU and then 7 times in the first half against Ole Miss, but only twice in the second half against the Rebels. It's simple math to say the more you take care of the basketball, the more chances you have to score. And that's also, I think, a sign of Tennessee moving the basketball the right way. Getting the ball to Grant Williams, I just think, is so important for Tennessee to run what it wants to offensively. So that's going to be a big key on offense. And then talking about the guards, Tyler Herro is going to get a lot of attention. Higgins as well, how he plays, the ability to drive and penetrate and find open shooters, that's a key for Kentucky. That's something that Tennessee needs to shut down. And as we've discussed here, P.J. Washington is such a big factor. How P.J. Washington plays, how Grant Williams plays, it seems pretty obvious to say, yeah, how each team's best player performs is going to be a big deal. But in this matchup, I really do think that applies. So that's something to pay attention to on Saturday as well. And how the game is officiated. I'm not one to really get into officiating, but if the first game was allowed to be really physical, at least in the first half, is that something that's going to be allowed in this game? Is there a conversation that, hey, you know, things might have gotten a little bit out of hand with what was allowed and then how things shifted in the second half 2 weeks ago? Is that something that's locked down early in the game? Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams don't want to be in foul trouble. And if you're Kentucky, you don't want P.J. Washington in foul trouble. Remember, he picked up that offensive foul very early in the last game. If Tennessee can get P.J. in foul trouble, with Reed Travis also expected to be out, that could cause problems for Kentucky. That's something to at least pay attention to early in the game. It should be a good one. 2 o'clock will be the tip-off time between Tennessee and Kentucky on Saturday. I'll be at the game. I'll have plenty of coverage for you on Monday's show afterward. You'll hear from players and Coach Rick Barnes and what they had to say. A win for Tennessee would be such a big deal. It would mean a lot for the SEC standings. It would mean a lot with potential NCAA tournament seeding. It would help with the polls as well. If Tennessee wins, there's a reasonable chance Tennessee goes back up into the top five. But a lot's on the line here for Tennessee and Kentucky. I would say this is a very important one both ways. Before I wrap up today's show, there was really big news on Thursday. I think it was probably the number one sports story of the day, and that was that Jason Witten has decided to unretire. He's ending his retirement from football and returning to the Dallas Cowboys for a 16th season. Jason Witten was in the booth on Monday night for ESPN this past year, and the Monday Night Football crew of Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarlane received a fair amount of criticism, and that was not an easy spot to walk into. The Monday Night Football booth had had John Gruden for the previous decade, and then Jason Witten goes into a position that's under the spotlight and getting so much attention. It's really not easy. I think he was also just going to be compared to Tony Romo, who was an instant hit when he left the football field to the booth with CBS the year before. Jason Witten being the former teammate of Tony Romo and a friend of Tony Romo, there was obviously going to be a comparison there, and there was criticism. Now, Jason Witten was expected to come back for another year in the Monday Night Football booth, but instead, he's getting back to football. There is the question, okay, how football ready is he going to be after being out for a year? There's a chance maybe that taking a year off helps him. Maybe he'll be fresher having not taken the beating that playing an NFL season can cause. Listen to what Lewis Riddick said on Thursday. He was Witten's colleague for the last year while they were both working for ESPN. But this is what Lewis Riddick said about Jason Witten and where he is physically getting ready to go back and play football for the Dallas Cowboys.
If you've seen Jason and you've been up close with him, the guy's in phenomenal shape. He takes fantastic care of himself. And with the advances in nutrition and the advances in the methods that people use to recover, look, I think in many ways you have to throw out some of the old thinking as far as how long players can play and how effective they can be in their mid-30s. Look, he's a guy who's one of the craftiest, smartest, most productive route runners, particularly in the short and intermediate game, that the NFL has ever seen. And then from a intangible standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from a locker room standpoint, he is only going to help the football team and continue to try and bring along some of these young guys and maybe get them to reach their potential, because it is a football team that has a lot of talent. So it'll be interesting to see exactly where he is at physically once he gets on the field for OTAs, mini camps, and he has to start running around and showing what he still has. But hey, don't knock it. Don't sit there and say, well, you know what, he got to be washed up at this point, because you just don't know anymore with the way players train, like I said, and advances in nutrition and recovery. It's a new game out there right now.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN talking about Jason Witten returning to the football field for 2019. If I had to guess, I'd say Witten will be a productive player. He's obviously not in his prime anymore. Nobody would make that case. But I'd say Jason will be more than ready to go out there and play. And he knows these guys. He was there just a little more than a year ago. He played with Dak Prescott for a couple of seasons and Ezekiel Elliott for a couple of seasons. They also have Amari Cooper there at wide receiver. This is also the Dallas Cowboys. He gets to go back and play for one of the biggest franchises in pro sports. Another run at it. Good for Jason Witten. I hope he has a big season this upcoming year. One more item I need to mention before I go. The Tennessee Lady Vols basketball team lost on Thursday night to Vanderbilt. That's the first time ever that Vanderbilt has beaten the Lady Vols in Knoxville. The loss drops Tennessee to 6-9 in SEC play. That was only the second SEC win this season for Vandy. It goes without saying that that's a terrible loss for Tennessee, not only for the season, but I would also say just in the grand scheme of things for the program. And I don't know what Holly Warlick's future is, but right now it's difficult to make any kind of case for her to be Tennessee's coach next year. Tennessee has one more game remaining against Ole Miss, which is 3-11 in SEC play. And it's a game the Lady Vols should win, but the Lady Vols should have won against Vanderbilt, and it didn't happen. So you still have the SEC tournament to go. There's a chance that Tennessee will have to win the SEC tournament to make the NCAA tournament, which is an almost unbelievable conversation, but that's where we are. So a really disappointing loss for the Lady Vols. One more regular season game to go. That's this weekend against Ole Miss. And then next week will be the SEC tournament, and we'll see what happens from there. That is going to do it for Locked On Vols today. Thanks so much for hanging out. The big focus this weekend is going to be Tennessee and Kentucky. We'll see what happens around the SEC. Remember, LSU and Alabama will play at noon on Saturday. So we will know where LSU stands in the SEC about the time that Tennessee and Kentucky tip off. Whatever happens this weekend, I'll be back on Monday to talk about it. Thanks so much for hanging out here today. If you do have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Thanks to everybody who has taken some time to leave a rating and review so far. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it, and I'll see you right back here on Monday.